Hello, America. We got a couple of things to talk about. Sanctuary cities and the nonsense that is going back and forth on this one. Just crazy. Also, headline, congressional Republicans just voted to let your ISP sell your browsing history to advertisers. That's horrible. Do you know how long standing we have? You know, the tradition in America of not allowing somebody like Google to be able to sell your information? I mean, that has been on the book for about 4 months now. It's that long of a standing tradition. Where was everyone when everybody wanted the government to stop this? Do you remember that outcry 4 months ago? No, because there was no outcry for it. This is something that Obama did in the last couple months of his tenure in office, the Republicans just taking that regulation away. Now, we're even split in this room on whether that's good or bad. Where do you stand? We go there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Cause we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Cause we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Legislation has been passed by the House and is already passed the Senate. It's now headed to President Trump for his signature. This is what it is. In a party line 215-205 vote, the House of Representatives approved the legislation to allow internet service providers to sell information about their customers' web browsing histories to advertisers and third-party outlets. So, you go online. You're browsing for whatever. You're browsing for new socks. That information is now going to be sold by, let's say, Google, everything you search for, to a sock company who says, who is browsing for socks? Who is looking for certain TV shows? They're all going to be able to find you now and advertise to you. Now, this is, on one hand, something that all of us love. We love the fact, we're spooked by it, or at least used to be, that somebody, you can be browsing for something, and all of a sudden the ads populate your page, and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't even, how did they know that I've been, oh, wow, they're tracking me. So in other words, I'm not going to be asked to buy tickets to a Chelsea Handler show. My searches will know that I look for people like Regan and Gaffigan. And so when those guys are in town or people like them, I'll be pitched to them instead of Chelsea Handler. Okay. That's something that we all love. This is all something, by the way, that has been done up until 4 months ago, been done by everybody. And every time you see Google or Apple, and they say, we've changed our rules. And you're like, yeah, yeah, Amazon, please. And it literally will take you 2 days to read and understand, just read, maybe not even understand what you've just clicked, I approve. That's all in there. Yes, we sell your information to third parties. What Barack Obama said was, we want you to have an opt-out and an opt-in. They have to ask you, do you mind if we sell your information? Now, most people will say no. And just based on the fact that they're not even thinking it through, I don't want anybody knowing my stuff. I don't want anybody knowing that stuff. And so most people will say no, even though it makes the service better. Why aren't you using Ask Jeeves? Why aren't you using Bing? If you really care about privacy, why aren't you using Bing? Why aren't you using Firefox as your browser? Because they don't sell anything to anybody. Most likely because, I don't know, I just like what I have. And it works for me. And I don't use Bing or because I never get the right answer. Google always, why does Google give you the right answer?
They have lots of data.
They have all the data they need on you and everybody else. Data is what powers the world. Now, I'm not saying that you should choose yes or no. I'm asking you to consider this. This has been done to you forever. This is not a change going and allowing them to do more. 4 months ago or so, Barack Obama said they shouldn't be able to do that. Well, my relationship is with the private company. Why is government regulating a private company? I don't like government regulations as a rule. If I don't like it, if I don't like what Google is doing, I will go to Firefox. There are other workable solutions when it comes to an actual, you know, way to browse, or I mean, sorry, to search a search engine. I don't think anybody comes close to Google. But there are other systems that I can use that Firefox as a browser. I've used Firefox. It's fine.
You can do a Lycos search.
Yeah.
Alta Vista.
Right. Alta Vista is really, right. Really good.
Now, here's my point on this that I really want you to hear. The government is, let me give you this, from the Electronic Frontier Foundation. We are one vote away. Now, this is earlier this week. We are one vote away from a world where your ISP can track your every move online and sell that information to the highest bidder. That sounds outrageous. And that's why the government has moved in to make sure that they can't do that. The same government that didn't even take a vote, didn't ask you, didn't click, okay, I agree. They just went and tracked your every move online, and they are the highest bidder. The government who says, it's okay, we're doing this, and we've been doing this in secret for a long time. In fact, we've been lying to you. We told you that we don't do that, and we tell you that we don't mine that information to be able to figure out things about you, about your friends, about the way the world works. We just have them buried in a basement, very dusty, old, nobody goes down there. I don't even know where we put that information. Which coat pocket did I leave your information in? We've been doing that, but we have got to stop these damn companies that want to do exactly the same thing that we know is so bad, we hid it from you. I'm sorry, I just don't go to the government to be the policeman. The police are corrupt. Are you telling me? When I read this, the ISP can track your every move online and sell that information to the highest bidder. I would be concerned that the highest bidder would be the federal government, but the federal government doesn't have to bid for it. They'll just force the ISP to give them anything they don't already have on you, which is probably nothing. I am less concerned about the robbers than I am the policemen in this particular case. Pat doesn't agree.
Yeah, I'm in a different place. I don't like the selling of my information without my permission. No, I don't like that.
Hang on just a second.
I don't think you have any right to sell it to everybody else.
I don't like it either.
So I don't like the bill.
Okay, so hang on just a second. Let's be careful with you don't have a right to sell the information. Because where do rights come from? That's not a God-protected right that somebody can do business with you and then not sell your information. You don't have a God-protected right on privacy between you and a business.
Don't I? Why not? Why don't I?
You have an assumed compact. You don't have a right. You have a right?
I'm not sure that's true. Yeah, it's my stuff. Now, if I choose to do business with Google, then I'm doing business with Google. That doesn't mean I want you to sell it to Yahoo.
Yeah, but wait. Hang on just a second. Let's separate.
You don't think there's a right to privacy?
There is a right to privacy.
There is a constitutional right to privacy in my mind.
Right, that the government, remember, the government cannot come in and just take things and spy on you. When I do business, when I walk into a sandwich store, I have an assumed compact of privacy that when I walk into that sandwich store, the baker is not going to go, hey, John, Glenn walks in here every day and he eats a sandwich. And you know what I see him reading? I see him reading this book. You want to sell your wares to him? He's a target for you right now. That I would not call the police. that is where I would go to the sandwich maker and say, did you just tell him that I come into your store every day and I'm reading this book, and so you told him that he should try to sell me his product because I was a prime target? Dude, I'm not eating in your sandwich store anymore. That's wrong.
Yeah, but everybody's going to do this now. Now that it's okayed, everybody will do it. There'll be nobody who doesn't do that.
Right, but what I'm trying to get to is you do not have a right. Now, if you want that to stop because every sandwich store is doing that, that's when you need to involve the government and say, hey, every sandwich store I go into, I cannot go into a sandwich store without them taking my information. But there are sandwich stores who are making their bread and butter saying, hey, I'm a sandwich store, I'll never sell it. It's not the government's place to tell me or tell a government or tell a business to do something or to not do something that I don't like. I stop doing business there.
I think the market, too, has addressed this in some ways. There are, as you point out, Firefox. I think Dogpile is the one that's similar to Google but doesn't store any information. There are other options, and they're usually only used by people who really care about these things. And Pat, I think, is certainly one of them. But, like, you know, almost every browser today has an option for private browsing. And you can go on private browsing, and what you will get from that is the experience you're talking about.
Yes.
No cookies. They will never customize any of your searches to what you're looking for because they're not storing your data and they're not storing your searches on that.
I've done that so many times, and
sucks.
I always leave because it sucks.
It sucks.
It's not tailored to me.
They're not tailored. They don't know what you're looking for. They don't. It doesn't work. And again, like, I don't think, because I think there's a line between, because I think Pat's totally right in that, like, who the hell would want that to happen? I don't want it to happen in theory, especially web searches seems even more invasive than, you know, even email, you know, because who knows what you're searching for, Jeffy, on the web.
Seriously. But, I mean, you say about Dogpile, I think you should just name it wheretoburyacorpse.com.
Right.
I mean, that's what you think of when I don't want people tracking. Well, why? What do you have to, you know, because they could take things that, you know, you're searching for. Think of the things that you have searched for that are completely innocent. That if you took over 5 years, you, Jeffy, you take over 5 years, you take 100 searches that you've done because you're reading a book, all of a sudden I can make you look like a serial killer.
Sure. Sure. I mean, and it's risky. I just don't know if the government should be in the business of doing that. I mean, because, you know,
doing what?
Of regulating that. That should be something that comes between the person and the company, in my opinion.
A company that says to me, I would like Google, here's the real solution. I'd like Google to come to me and say, hey, to be able to upgrade your, to give you the you know, system that you like, we'd like to be able to sell this information to other parties. If you want to opt out, opt out. I mean, not opt out. Would you like us to, may we do that with your information to enhance your experience? Yes, no. I personally would like them to say opt in and allow me to opt in. Mm-hmm. Now that's going to cut down the information they can sell, but so be it.
Probably still get plenty.
But it's not something the government should go into any business and say, you can't run your business that way. You can't make money that way. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, we don't even have a right to the internet.
Right.
So do we have a right for to have a certain browsing ability on the internet?
This is the real problem. Is Google a utility or a company?
Mm.
If it's a public utility, well, then the government's going to regulate it all at once. And I can guarantee you it won't be like Google. But it will regulate all kinds of stuff because that's what governments do. If it's a utility, if it's a private company, you don't like it, go to another company. We just don't like to do that because Google has gotten so good. They give us everything we want. We want that and our own personal things. But our own personal things, when we say no to that, it's what made Google Google. It's like people move from California, and they're like, I love Texas.
Google Google by selling it to Yahoo. That's not what made Google Google.
Google has been selling stuff and information forever.
That may be, but I don't want them to.
Right, but
they don't want them to.
It is what made Google Google. They sold the information to other people. That's how they made everything free.
Now, they're Google because they use that information themselves.
Yes, but they
that's also, what makes them them.
But they've also sold it to people for years.
Well, they may have. I don't want them to. I don't think they should be allowed
to
do that.
Well, then you should say to Google, why are you saying to a private company?
This is a bizarre place for a group of conservatives to say that we don't care about our constituents' privacy. Go ahead and do whatever you want with it. I that's bizarre.
I find
to me.
This bizarre.
That's
bizarre. I find you saying a private company is going to be told by the federal government
there
how to behave.
There are things the government's supposed to regulate. There are
privacy.
There's certain things that the government does.
Privacy,
this is one of them to me.
Privacy between you and another exchange that you do that has nothing to do with the government is not one of them. Especially you're going to the.
I think it is.
Where is in the Constitution?
I think it is. We have a right to privacy
with the government. The government. The government. It doesn't say that. That has nothing to do with private industry. That is a private contract between you and the others. It doesn't.
I don't have a contract with Yahoo.
If yes,
I'm,
you do.
If
you
I'm,
do.
If I'm searching
yes,
on Google. No, I don't. No, I don't.
Well, if you're searching with
no,
Google, you're probably right. You don't have a contract. But you have an implied contract.
Right. It's like when people call up to the show, their implied contract has this girl on. They might go on the air.
Right. Okay, right. Hang on. We have to take a quick break. It's funny how Pat and I disagree on this fundamentally, and we can't see the other how the other is missing our main point. He's talking about privacy, which I completely agree. I have a right to privacy. The government cannot come in and take my stuff. I don't want the government monitoring my stuff, and I'll fight Google. If Google wants to sell my information to the U.S. government, I have a real problem. I don't like the fact that Google or anybody else wants to share my information, but there are other companies that won't do that. For instance, I won't sell your information. You go to glennbeck.com or The Blaze. I don't sell your information. I don't sell my email list. I don't do that. And it's just my personal thing. How many people have signed up for that because they're like, you know what, Glenn won't do that? I don't know. It's not the biggest thing. People might appreciate it, but they want to have a great service. People say they care about this stuff with private companies, but I'm not sure they really do. And I just find it hypocritical to go to the government to protect my information from a private company when they have lied about taking my information and they have everything. They have every phone call.
Well, I think
they just don't listen to it.
We all agree, I think, on that, which right. is it's completely hypocritical for the government to be acting as if they're so offended by it when they're all doing
it. That's where the privacy, that's why you say, hey, I have privacy. You can't go check my library books out and see what I was looking at because it's a government entity. The government has no right to go in or out of my life and privacy because they're building a case. Private companies, it's an implied contract with each other that, hey, that's unethical. I don't like you doing that. That makes me uncomfortable when you do that. That's where the free market comes in. And if you don't like it, then you go and get it from somebody else. You don't run to the government first, at least in my opinion. When we come back, the real Democratic Party.
The Glenn Beck Program. The Glenn Beck Program.
The roots of the Democratic Party, which had sprung from the ashes of the Democratic Republican Party in 1830, were deeply and unquestionably racist. I know this is quite a statement to make, but Democrats repeatedly lied to, broke treaties with, and slaughtered Indians. They supported slavery, fractured the nation with secession of the South, and in large measure were responsible for thrusting America into the Civil War, which cost over 600,000 lives. The political ideology of the Democrats, however,
hadn't been so radical or so destructive as their racist tendencies. At least, not until Woodrow Wilson. Wilson coupled the party's racism with radical progressivism. That's why the election of 1912 was a critical turning point in the history of the party and the United States.
The incumbent was Republican William Howard Taft. The Democratic challenger, tall and dignified Woodrow Wilson. And taking them both on was the most formidable third-party candidate in history, former Republican president Theodore Roosevelt. Disappointed that his hand-picked successor Taft had abandoned many of his policies, Roosevelt had actually tried to wrest the Republican nomination away from him. He failed, and at that point could have chosen to bow out gracefully. But this was Teddy Roosevelt.
He said, "I stand at Armageddon to do battle for the Lord."
Running under the banner of the new Progressive Party, the popular Roosevelt capsized Taft's re-election bid. But TR's candidacy had an unintended consequence. By splitting the Republican vote, he allowed the Democrat, Wilson, to win the White House.
While it was a former Republican, Teddy Roosevelt, who started and ran under the Progressive Party banner, it was Democrat Woodrow Wilson who was even more progressive than Roosevelt. A note here, progressivism is Marxism that is accomplished without revolution, more slowly, and under a different name. The principles are essentially the same. It was under Wilson's leadership that the Democratic Party took a huge left turn. It had been a party that had been leery of centralized government. While Wilson pushed for and succeeded in greatly enlarging the size of the federal government, the one they were also afraid of. He also adopted the policy of an early Democratic progressive, William Jennings Bryan, in pushing for and this time succeeding in bringing about a progressive national income tax. Seems we always forget the progressive part of tax. Now, up until his presidency, the United States had been free of the burden of a permanent national income tax. It was almost universally believed to be unconstitutional. Yet, Wilson took office March 4th of 1913, and by October of that year, the United States had been fundamentally transformed and altered with a new progressive income tax. With it came the IRS and the Federal Reserve, and America would never be the same again. Wilson had also changed the American power structure. Before his administration, the executive branch was, at best, simply equal to Congress. But he made the presidency superior to Congress. Wilson also worked really hard to fundamentally transform the United States. Of America's original founding document, Wilson said,
"Some citizens of this country have never got beyond the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence did not mention the questions of our day. It is of no consequence to us."
Americans were never meant to get beyond the Declaration of Independence. It is inextricably linked to the Constitution and to every principle of governance that we hold dear. It is the idea of America, while the Constitution is the framework to make that idea work. Wilson's thoughts, however, on the Constitution were similar to his thoughts on the Declaration.
"All the progressives ask or desire is permission. In an era when development, evolution, is the scientific word to interpret the Constitution according to the Darwinian principle, all they ask is recognition of the fact that a nation is a living thing and not a machine."
In other words, all he desired was the ability to interpret the Constitution in whatever way he might deem appropriate. In Woodrow Wilson's mind, the Constitution was ever-changing, ever-evolving, rather than a set of rights that were eternal. With that in mind, Wilson set out his agenda. One of his worst acts was sponsoring the Espionage and Sedition Acts. The Sedition Act prohibited criticism of the government, armed forces, or the war effort. This, after Wilson had promised and been re-elected for keeping the United States out of World War I. If the citizens dare violate the act and actually said, "Wait a minute, what did you just say?" they were imprisoned or fined.
Some 1,500 people were arrested under this law, including socialist presidential candidate Eugene Debs. As if all of that weren't enough un-American activity for one president, Wilson went so far as to have thousands of German Americans forced into one of two internment camps that he had set up in the United States. One of the camps was in Utah, and the other one was in Georgia. Remember, this isn't the Japanese internment. This was two decades before. Just a few of the notable German interns were geneticist Richard Goldschmidt, as well as 29 of the very scary and dangerous members of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. The orchestra's musical conductor, Karl Muck, spent more than a year at the camp in Georgia, as did Ernst Kunwald, the musical director of the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. What are we afraid of? Oh, are they ninjas with the batons? How, you might be asking? In a nation with a revered constitution such as America, which prohibits all of these actions, can all of this take place? Author of Theodore and Woodrow, Judge Napolitano, sums up exactly how it happened.
Roosevelt, and I speak of Theodore, of course, and Wilson openly boasted that they were not obliged to follow the words of the Constitution, that as president, they could make changes on their own. So you have two presidents who believe, this is a radical difference from all of their predecessors, even Lincoln, that they can, from the White House, order and direct changes which will affect the lives of every American.
Coupled with the inaction of separate but equal branches of government, Congress and the judicial branch and the nation was thrust into a constitutional crisis that virtually nobody even noticed. As I said earlier, the American people had been very vocal about staying out of the war in Europe, and Wilson had been reelected in large part because he had kept America out of World War I. Nearly as soon as he was reelected, however, Wilson wasted absolutely no time in using the sinking of the British passenger ship, the Lusitania, to plunge the United States into the worst war in world history up until that time. Wilson claimed,
"I am an advocate of peace, but there are some splendid things that come to a nation through the discipline of war."
The Alien and Sedition Act was one of those splendid things he had accomplished. He was also interning American citizens behind barbed wire. He also splendidly raised the top income tax rate from 15 to 77%. And along the way, he resegregated the civil service and U.S. military. But other than that, he was a constitutional dream. Considering all of this, it is inconceivable to hear modern-day Democrats sing Wilson's praises or seek to be even associated with him, as Hillary Clinton did several years ago.
"I prefer the word progressive, which has a real American meaning, going back to the progressive era at the beginning of the 20th century. I consider myself a modern progressive, someone who believes strongly in individual rights and freedoms, who believes that we are better as a society when we're working together, and when we find ways to help those who may not have all the advantages in life get the tools they need to lead a more productive life for themselves and their families."
Sure. I mean, who wouldn't be inspired by an early 20th century American progressive and comments like this one from Woodrow Wilson?
"The white men were roused by a mere instinct of self-preservation until at last there had sprung into existence a great Ku Klux Klan, a veritable empire of the South, to protect the Southern country."
The believer he was in the KKK, he actually premiered the movie that glorified the Klan called Birth of a Nation at the White House. It was the first movie ever to be screened at the White House. So given the despicable legacy of the party, it's difficult to understand the arrogance of many of today's Democratic elites, such as Hillary Clinton, who stated,
"Now, as Democrats, we have diverse views and backgrounds. We are Democrats, after all."
Wow, indeed, it has been a diverse party, willing to persecute citizens of Native American, African American, Asian American, and German American descent. Oh, yes, and they love to hear from people of all kinds of views and background, just as long as you're in lockstep with the prevailing elites of the party. After all, they're Democrats. After the war, Woodrow Wilson became obsessed with entangling the United States in international laws and regulations by joining his brainchild, the League of Nations. However, the people of the United States didn't want anything to do with it. They instead wanted to maintain American constitutional sovereignty, and they rejected the League. The problem is Woodrow Wilson wasn't a guy who was going to take no for an answer. He ignored the Senate. He ignored the veto. He began a rigorous nationwide campaign to try to sell to the American people the League of Nations. He had a whirlwind tour that turned out to be too strenuous for him, and on October 2nd, 1919, Wilson suffered a massive stroke, which left him virtually incapacitated for the rest of his presidency. I don't like to wish ill on anybody, but thank goodness that stroke happened. But to make a bad presidency worse, his unelected wife essentially secretly ran the executive office from then on. She was actually our first female president, and she kept the severity of his illness under wraps until the election of President Harding in 1920. Next time, the Democratic Party of today.
Tomorrow on the Glenn Beck program, in Chapter 4 of the History of the Democratic Party, you'll learn how the party continues to cover up its racist past. Listen live or online at glennbeck.com/serials.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
David Barton and I have launched something this spring we're very excited about. Happening this summer, if you want your kids to have a two-week internship in the historic library of Mercury One. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is what we're offering. Hands-on training. We're looking for kids that are 18 to 25 years old. You get training hands-on, one session in June, one session in July. I believe it's 2 weeks. I think it's 2 weeks. We're opening up the library for a very select few. All of them are going to be individually interviewed. Not everybody's going to get in to research our original historic documents. There will also be speakers and guest lecturers. David Barton is running this along with his son, and I am a part of this. You're going to have to provide your own transportation, lodging, meals, and everything else. We have some partners that can help with large lodging. There is a $375 fee to be the to get into this program, but it's nonstop projects, research, and lectures, all focused on our history and the people who are directly involved with the founding of our nation. You're going to identify the philosophies and ideologies that shaped our laws and our original documents. You'll get biblical worldview and America's heritage with God, the truth in history and early education in America, and American exceptionalism. And what you'll be doing is you will be actually challenged, your kids will be challenged to go and find the documents to make the cases that they're most likely going to have to make in college with their professors. If you want to know, where did the founders actually stand on God? Where did they stand on abortion? Where do they stand on some of the things that we are talking about today? I guarantee you, the professors at college will have the wrong answer. Your kids are going to be taught the right answer and shown how to find it, and some of their projects will be posted online in a library that will be made public soon. More on that later. You can go to mercuryone.org/intern. Sign up by April 5th.
Mercury.